Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at eBibleFellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 20 of Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll stop reading there. Okay, in our last study, we were looking at verse 5, and we were carefully looking at the wording, and we saw that it should be translated, by whom, referring back to the Lord Jesus, the one declared the Son of God, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. And instead of for, it should have been translated into. We have received grace and apostleship into obedience. And then the preposition to should have been of, because it's in the genitive case. And so it would read, grace and apostleship into obedience of the faith. And the word among also is better translated as in all nations for his name. And then we can see exactly what God is saying. Through the atoning work of the Lord Jesus, which resulted in his declaration as being the Son of God, we, the chosen people of God, have received grace and apostleship. That is, God has saved us by his grace through Christ's faith, and we become his servants sent forth with the word of God. And we also have received this grace and apostleship into obedience, not our own obedience, although it will, as a consequence, eventually more and more result in the obedient action of one of those that God has saved, as God's Spirit operates and works within them. But that's not the focus here. The focus is into the obedience of Christ, by the obedience of one, many are made righteous. And so that's why the direction into is important. Into obedience of the faith. The faith of Christ that justifies us in all nations. And we saw that that's referring to the nations of them which are saved, the nations of the elect for his name. And that has everything to do with the Lord Jesus. It is the essence of God. His name involves his characteristics, his attributes, all that God is. And this wonderful, magnificent salvation program is all for the glory of God. Then it says in verse 6, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? And we wonder, among which group? Who is being referred to when it says, among whom? And it's referring back to all nations, in all nations. And in Revelation 21:24, the statement is made, the nations of them which are saved. So it is the nations of the elect, among whom, that is, all these elect, Are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? So the people that God has saved are counted amongst the nations of them which are saved. And to the reader, down through the centuries, as they would read this, they would be included amongst that number. They would be among those that God had predestinated to salvation and, you know, part of those elect children that he had determined to save and then would save in the day of salvation as they heard the word of God, the Bible. And so we, I hope you and all that are reading this, along with E-Bible Fellowship, are among them, among the nations of them which are saved. That's our hope for our fellow man today. Because God has completed his salvation program, we can share information from the Bible, whether a tract or a Bible study, with the hope, with an expectation, because God did save a great multitude just a little while ago during the Great Tribulation period, that maybe you are one of those elect. You would therefore be among the nations of them which are saved, and among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now the called, we know that during the church age, which is probably the best way to illustrate it, many were called, few were chosen. And God says that in a couple of places. In Matthew 20, it says in verse 16, "So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." And many heard the gospel call as the church was established amongst the nations of the world, and various people from those nations, not all of them, not all, but a significant number, entered into the churches and congregations to take upon themselves the name Christian. And they were all called because they heard the Bible some way, somehow. They heard the message come to God. And of course, many heard a distorted message, and that was a result of individuals already who had come into the churches who were not saved, who were emissaries of Satan, tares amongst the wheat, and they would evangelize and send forth a distorted message themselves, which would bring in more tares among the wheat. But nonetheless, through the Bible, there was a call, a general call, to all that had ears to hear, to every individual, go to God. It's the day of salvation. Boldly come to the throne of grace, that you may find grace to help in time of need. Beseech the Lord. Cry out to him that he might save you. That was the true gospel message. And numbers flocked into the congregations, filling the pews. Many were called. Out of the sum total who were called, billions, at the time that the church age came to a close, there were about 2 billion professed Christians, and out of that number, few were chosen, few were elect. And there would be scores of millions more down through the centuries of the church age, same kind of situation. Large numbers entering into the church, of that large number, few that were truly saved. That was God's program. And he didn't hide it in a verse like this. Many are called, few are chosen. We see this also in Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, I'll start reading from verse 1. It says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city." Now, in these early verses of Matthew 22, we have the church age. The call goes out. Many despised it, made light of it. Then the king gets angry because they also took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. So he comes and he's wroth, he's angry, and he destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. That would be the house of God, also typified by Jerusalem, Jerusalem below. So God has judged the church, is basically what this is saying. He gave space, and during which time the call went forth, then he poured out his wrath. Okay, but then there's more to this. In verse 8, "Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests." See, now this is stage two. This is another part of the call. Just as we know, there were two outpourings of the Holy Spirit. The first began in 33 AD on the day of Pentecost, and the church age was established. The call to come to the wedding, that is, to become saved, to enter into marriage, it all points to God's salvation. Well, that went out in 33 AD until 1988. Then God ended that call. When he burned up their city and destroyed those murderers. But a second time, there's a second outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we know from everything we read in the Bible, that began in the Jubilee year of 1994. And notice the location of those that are called the second time. "Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good." Not in the city. The city was already burned up. Outside the city. And this points to the sending forth of the gospel. Once the church age was over and done with, God sent forth the gospel, the latter rain, into the nations of the world. That he was saving the great multitude outside of the churches and congregations. Well, okay, so the call goes out the second time, and the wedding is said to be furnished with guests. Now, it's interesting that the wedding is also in view in Revelation chapter 19. And in Revelation 19, remember, that's Judgment Day. The wedding feast identifies with Judgment Day when Christ comes and begins to rule with a rod of iron. And just to connect this, you know, it always helps to read the Bible. We read, for example, in verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And then later, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, after verse 13 through 16 is showcasing the wrath of God, it says in verse 17, And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So we see that there's only one supper in view here, the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's the time when the wicked will be devoured and destroyed. It's judgment day. Well, okay, so back here in Matthew 22, after the two calls to the marriage supper, we read the wedding was furnished with guests. And then it says in verse 11, And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now this wedding garment would relate to the righteousness of Christ. It would relate to that fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of saints. That's the proper wedding attire, the only acceptable wedding attire for the spiritual marriage that takes place in God's salvation program. And so if you don't have it on, that is a problem. That's a problem that you can't remedy because it's over. Just as we know today, the day of salvation has come to an end. And that's what this parable is teaching. The time of being called is over and past. And so now it's the actual wedding feast. It's the actual supper of the Lamb. It is the king who has now come to see the guests. The king did not see the guests when the first call went out and many refused and made light of it and so forth. It wasn't time yet. And then when the second call went out, the call was, the wedding is ready. Come to the wedding and so forth. But again, it was not yet time. Now, when the king came in to see the guests, he's coming personally to the wedding. And he is meeting the guests. Remember that frightening verse, Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And now the meeting is taking place. And that's the time we're living in. That's the day of judgment that we're presently in. We, at this point in time, and actually for years now, and from everything we read in the Bible, according to the biblical evidence, for years to come, God is meeting the guests that have come to the wedding, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he is performing an inspection. It is the time of testing to see if you and I and everyone else who has managed to appear to be at this feast, who was called, to see if we are also chosen. And if we're chosen, we will have on the proper attire, which is the righteousness of Christ, the fine linen of the saints. Well, the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. God cannot be mocked. He cannot be fooled or deceived. God knows the heart. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Well, now it's that time of having to do with God. And God is looking upon this one and looking upon that one. And of course, you know, Jesus is God. Jesus has intimate understanding of those who are his, and simultaneously those who are not his, of those whose sins he bore and died for, and the rest of mankind whose sins he did not pay for. And so God looks at this one, and he knows that this is someone who is righteous and will be righteous still, righteous forevermore. And then he looks at this one, and he sees no garment. He sees no righteousness, but he sees filthiness. This one is filthy and will be filthy still until destroyed, and then that destruction will be forevermore. And this is the inspection process that's underway. And so God continues to open the scriptures to reveal truth, doctrine, which is understanding of the Word of God. And as he does so, it's as though he's coming to someone without a wedding garment. And here is the Word of God. What are you going to do with it? Oh, they reject it. Oh, May 21 was all wrong. You can't trust the biblical calendar of history. We can't trust any of these dates. Oh, Sunday's not the Sabbath. What are you talking about? You're wrong about that. Oh, no, we're not saved by the faith of Christ. We're by, and I'm just saying all the errors that people who previously understood these things are now coming to, and they would say we're saved by faith in Christ. Yes, it's election, but we have to play our part. And they go back to the former doctrines. They go back to the former errors, because the former doctrines included former errors. And they come to the former high places and set them up once again, these idols of the heart. And God sees them. And so, of course, he can only do one thing. When he finds someone without a wedding garment, and he first asks, how did you come in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. What can be said? What can be said? And of course, that this is happening on a spiritual level, and probably most, if not all, of these people are self-deceived. They're deceived by their own hearts. They're deceived into thinking they're one of God's elect because they listen to Mr. Camping. They listen to family radio for many years, many years. So how could they not be saved? Just like somebody would tell you they've gone to church and they listen to this faithful pastor and that faithful pastor, reform pastor. They're reformed individuals, and how can they not be saved? You see, it's the same mindset. It's just transferred as the gospel, as God was winnowing the harvest and separating wheat from tares. You had some clingers on who came out of the church and followed the biblical language of the end of the church. They latched on to it. They like that idea because they're independent-minded souls, independent-minded individuals, and basically it let them be their own boss when it comes to the scriptures. They're very independent. They don't have to listen to the church anymore. And, you know, for the most part, they followed Mr. Camping's teaching as long as it fit in with the things they believe, but then God began to open up, even outside the church, doctrines like no more eternal damnation, no more eternal suffering for the sinner, and the atonement performed by the Lord Jesus at the foundation of the world and not at the cross, and then the proud heart of the dead sinner who possessed the heart of stone, who just managed to find his way outside the church along with others, came to the surface, and in anger he turned away. Maybe he didn't go back to the church, but he turned away because of this doctrine and that doctrine. He started not to like Mr. Camping or trust these other things, but he, of course, independent-minded as he was, he stayed outside the church. And then when we come to May 21, 2011, and that was a severe test that shook the tree greatly, and all kinds of people came falling out that were holding on for dear life as God tested and tried his people in a mighty way. Only those who realize, well, I have no place else to go, Lord. Where can I go? You have the words of eternal life. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why May 21, 2011 didn't happen as I knew it would, as we all knew it would, as the Bible guaranteed it and locked in that date. But and I don't know. I'll just wait on the Lord. I'll keep looking, keep studying. That was the mindset of God's elect. Others, the ridicule, the mockery of the world and the church, they couldn't stand it. It hurt their pride so bad, they had to get away as quickly as possible. So they fled, some right away. Some, they were just waiting for the first opportunity, and then the spiritual judgment. Oh, I don't believe that. That was their opportunity. Or the idea, no more salvation, and the judgment day did happen. And then things just kept getting harder and harder and harder to hold on to these truths, although the Bible was proving them and locking them in. So they return in a justified way back to the church, back to former doctrines, or maybe they gave up and went back to the world. But that's what God has been doing as he has inspected the guest. And as they have gone back, it really is God doing this in verse 13 of Matthew 22. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. You see, this is the testing ground for the chosen of God, the true elect of God. They will not be cast out of the wedding.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.